another episode of Off Color. We're up to episode 29. We're slowly approaching my age. We'll get there next week. We are a segmented podcast that likes to focus on the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. I'm Chris. I play EDH, and I'm a butthole. That's me. Hello, child. Let's say hello to the other wonderful people we have. We've got the Master of Disaster, Cassidy Silver. Why don't you say hi?
Yeah, the Master of Disaster. And if you've already heard the Commander Cast episode that we recorded last night, I am What's Wrong with the Format. That's my comma. That's my comma title on my magic card.
But we also determined I'm What's Wrong with the Format.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, like, we could both be What's Wrong with the Format.
True that.
Yeah, check out the articles on TCG. They're coming out every week, pretty much. Next week. So actually, probably the day after this goes up, I'm going to be doing a big set review of Ravnica, probably, and should be a train wreck. So that sounds good. besides that, we've got other people to talk about, so let's just stop talking about me.
Busting brains and wrecking trains. Now up to the man who's more boombastic than Shaggy. Are people old enough to remember that? We've got Calvin, a.k.a. Captain Red Zone. Why don't you say hi?
Is it bad enough that I actually remember that?
Well, I mean, we're old.
Yeah, we remember it, but is it relevant and awesome to talk about? No.
Yes.
They're going to go and try and look that up on Google. All right, but this is Calvin, you know, Captain Red Zone, around the internet, stuff like that. The aggressive player, always attacking. Don't know if I'm ever going to really defend too often, but you know what? Hey, we'll see. We'll see. If you're looking for anything I've done, greetaface.com. Archives. Yeah, that's roughly it for the moment.
Okay, and we're actually keeping our guest train rolling. We've got our boy Alex Shakow, a.k.a. Beardy Plays, a.k.a. Plays. Why don't you say hi to the folks at home?
What's up, everyone? My name's Alex. You might also know me as Beardy. I run a Twitch stream called Beardy Plays. I play EDH mostly on there, other games and stuff. But it can be found at twitch.tv/beardyplays. This is my first podcast ever. Mm. So, yeah, these guys are popping my podcast cherry here. And, of course, these fuckers didn't even take me out to dinner first.
Nah, I didn't even know all three of our dicks would fit in there at once.
Yeah, you're lucky there wasn't a roofie involved, man. Come on.
Shit, I've been practicing.
I've been
loosening
like,
it up, you know, sitting on pyramids and shit.
the DV or the DA porn, like, you know the guy's getting more feeling out of the other person's dick than out of
yeah, like, worse. There's like a little bit of like a kiss going on between like a little thin membrane, so that's...
we're not talking about the double penetration, we're talking about two dicks in one hole.
Oh, DVDA, yeah. Okay.
You know, like, do you remember when Perry Farrell, the South Park movie, named his band DVDA?
Oh, yeah. Well, have you ever seen Orgasmo at all?
I don't like the song.
You didn't like the movie?
Man.
I have not seen that movie.
Oh, it's awesome. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it has Ron Jeremy in it, doing, like, some Chinese tiger claws.
Nice.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Orgasmo.
Yeah,
check that shit out. It's awesome.
White people.
Like. What? You're not a white person.
I'm white as hell.
Alright, so you like it, right?
No, I don't like it.
There's that one scene where they're all going at it, and that one old chick, remember, DVDA style.
Yeah, but you can definitely tell they have more feeling with the other dick in there than in that hole.
Yeah. You know, now that I think about it, I've never seen a real DVDA porn. I'll have to check that out.
Well, I mean, you can usually find double vaginal or double anal, but you're usually not going to get, like, four dicks in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's, like, physically impossible. It'd have to be a bunch of fucking people with, like, no arms and legs.
Yeah.
Just mashed together. Just a bunch of fucking nubs mashed together. But somewhere out there is some guy that would totally fucking masturbate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's right.
Christian's
here.
Like, yeah, fuck him. I wonder who that guy is. That's weird. That's a weirdo.
Yeah, that guy's totally weird.
I don't know what the fuck's up with that guy.
Hey, gang. Last year, if you recall, Andy over at CommanderCast did his Gifts Given charity drive. A lot of us donated cards, time, or money, and it was a great success. This time around, he is offering CommanderCast apparel, where any money over production will again be donated to charity. You can order a CommanderCast t-shirt or sweatshirt in a variety of colors and styles up until Sunday, September 30th, 2012. So if you downloaded the show for this week, you still have time. For information on ordering, head over to commandercast.com/contests/gifts-given-charity-drive-2012. Yeah, that is a bit of a mouthful. You can also just Google Commander Cast Gifts Given 2012, and there will also be a link in the show notes. I know money is tight for a lot of us, but if you have a little extra and would also like a baller-ass shirt, be sure to check it out.
Going to be a kind of a rundown of the pros and cons of playing EDH on Magic Online. So a lot of these are pretty obvious, but if you have never played on Magic Online, some of these might be new to you. So I'm going to start with the cons, and then we'll go on to the pros just to end on a good note. Playing politically is like a huge part of EDH, right? You know, being able to talk to your opponents and you know, give them a wink, whatever. Play footsie with them. And obviously you can't really do that on Magic Online. Sure, there's a lot of talking via the chat and whatever, but it's not the same. You can't say, hey, you know, attack this guy and I'll give you a slice of my pizza, which, you know, I've done before. can't really do that on Magic Online. It's kind of the same as like talking on, you know, via IM or Facebook or whatever versus talking to someone in real life. There isn't these little nuanced things like facial expressions and body language.
No, so, you will get a lot of the I've gotten like creepy PMs from people in the middle of a game and I'm not paying attention. I'm like, damn it. It's like, yeah. Why is this guy creepily PMing me asking me if I'm going to attack this other guy?
Yeah, like, no, I've gotten that too.
Like leave me alone, bro.
You want to buddy up against this guy? And it's like,
yeah. That usually makes me more inclined to attack the guy who PM'd me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm a pretty big guy, and I have a giant beard, of course. If you've seen my stream, you'll know that I have a big beard. And a lot of people are kind of intimidated by me, especially if they've never met me before or played Magic with me before. And usually that serves as a big advantage. Honestly, I know that sounds kind of weird, but like it totally scares people from attacking me. And online, people don't give a shit if you have a beard or not. All right. So next con, can't really customize your deck at all. You can't pimp it out with, you know, this is big for EDH, especially. Sure, you know, you can get the unhinged lands and whatever on Modo the same as you can in real life, but you can't have custom, like, alternate art or, you know, your sleeves with fucking rhinestones on them or whatever.
Oh, yo, I got a quick question. Does it just put the foils in your deck by default first when you start adding in lands?
I'm not sure, because I usually just have it, I click show all versions and I pick
up. Okay. I'm lazy and I just see 110 mountains and I just start mashing on it. And it always puts the fucking foils in there, and foils on Magic Online.
Foils on Magic
Online
is the dumbest. Yeah, it's the dumbest shit.
On my old computer, I had the effect shut off, but I haven't gotten around to doing that on this one.
Yeah. It's got that like shiny kind of like cascade thing that makes you just be like, who keeps moving the goddamn light?
It gives me a goddamn migraine if I stare at it for too long.
But yeah, anyway, so you can't pip out your decks the same way you can in real life, and some people might have a problem with that. I personally don't really give a shit, but all right. So the next point is, a lot of people, you know, since you're anonymous and it's just an online thing, some people will just concede for no reason, or if just one little thing goes wrong, they'll just peace out. And in real life, that's a lot different, you know, because you have to take effort to actually go out and play EDH. You have to bring all your stuff. You might have to, you know, plan around a schedule. So when you start a game, like, you want to play that game. Online, it's a bit different. People have a tendency to drop a lot sooner than they would if it was face-to-face.
Yeah, they'll drop for, like, any reason.
Yeah, I've seen people drop for the dumbest shit.
Guy plays an island, someone drops. Actually, that might be hyperbole. But I've definitely seen guy plays boil, person drops. That's almost forgivable. Guy casts common Eldrazi, or, like, one of those crappy uncommon ones, like Ulamog's Crusher or something. Yeah. Somebody dropped.
Wow.
Someone was mad because two people teamed up on him when he had an Eldrazi Conscription enchanted Azusa, And he's like, why are you guys ganging up on me? You guys must all be boyfriends. And then he dropped. And it's like, some people just don't understand that when they're obviously the biggest threat on the table, that they're going to get ganged up on, and they start to get a little, like, sensitive about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they can just concede, go to another game almost immediately, so it's kind of rough, you know, because in real life, you can't always do that. You know, it might be the only game at your shop going on, so you want to stay in that game, you know.
Not to tangent off too far, but what have you thought about them moving the multiplayer games into the...
I hate it. I'm getting used to it, but I hate it.
Because how many people are making one-on-one EDH games?
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed is it's like full of just 1v1 when I rarely saw 1v1 Commander games before.
And are they doing it on purpose? Do they just not know how to make a game?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I have no idea. All right, so on to the next point. There's no takesies backsies. In real life, you play some shit that you maybe didn't mean to play. You know, whatever it may be. Once you played it on Magic Online, you can't just put it back in your hand. You can't take anything back. And I know, you know, that's kind of a big thing with such a casual format. You know, some new player might be at your table, play something that they shouldn't because, you know, say there's an O stone on the table and some guy plays out his whole hand and he's new. You might just say, hey, why don't you just put those back in your hand?
Yeah.
You know, once you play something, yeah, it's done. It's a done deal.
I usually do the accidental. I don't realize it's actually on my turn and I've just F6'd it.
Yeah. Oh, that shit happens all the time.
Yeah, I've just passed my entire turn.
I do that way more often than I should. It's horrible.
There's not a good indicator when it's your main phase, first main, and then you click it and you're like, fuck, I'm in combat now.
Yeah, it's rough. And then the last point is, some people just don't like that you can't feel the cards, you know, it's not tactile at all. Like it's like playing a computer game, not like playing a card game. I don't really care personally. I mean, I do like playing paper, but honestly, I'll take EDH however I can get it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to guys who've talked about Cockatrice before, so we're definitely not averse to playing without cards. Actually, the point that you brought up about not being able to take things back, like, that's a big thing for why I like Cockatrice, because it's so freeform, and you can be like, oh, that was dumb, or we fucked up, you know what I mean?
But, right.
Yeah, you can't take it back. It's so much more official, you know, like,
you don't get all the free mulligans you want.
Yeah. You don't get to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can't do the rampant bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no partial parasing either. It's
bug me.
You get one free mulligan back to 7 and then it's, you know, down a card every time. So, all right. So I'm going to move to the pros now. That's all the cons I have. The biggest thing that I think I hear when trying to basically promote EDH on Magic Online is the cost. People say, well, hey, I've got decks and paper. Why would I want to rebuy all these cards again? You know, that's to some people, that's just retarded. But the cost of Magic Online is relatively cheap. Like, cards are way cheaper on Modo, especially the kind of EDH specific cards that aren't played in other formats. Like, for example, Mind's Eye. Mind's Eye is like, what, a $5 to $10 card in paper? On Modo, you can get it less than a dollar. And there's a lot of cases like that. There will be some cards that are, closer to their paper counterpart. For the most part, like, it'll be half or less. Like, I have four decks on there right now. Some of them are, you know, more competitive than others, but all four of those combined cost less than one of my paper decks. I could, if I totaled it all up. And you can do a lot of looking at, you know, there's resources like, MTGO Library and a couple other ones where you can look up all the prices that bots are selling and some stuff you can get a real deal on. So.
Yeah. That's probably the smart way to do it. I've just always stuck with traders because it's the easiest.
Yeah, like because like I actual people.
They have actual people there, and I like Cape Fear Games. It seems like a cool place of dudes, so I don't mind supporting them. But to go further on the price thing, it's nice if, well, I mean, usually you could just proxy it, but if you're the kind of guy who doesn't like that sort of thing, Like Imperial Seal is $6 online,
and, it's
and
what,
so
like
you get a chance. You get a chance to play cards that you're usually never even going to look at,
right?
And
right.
you're playing them in still sort of a pseudo real way.
Yeah, and that's another thing too is buying cards. I mean, obviously, like there are some sets that just aren't even on Magic Online, like the really old sets.
Makes me sad.
There's a few things missing, but for the most part, it's not that big of a deal. But you can, you know, if you have money, like you can get whatever card, you know, if you're just depending on people in your play group, when you're playing in paper, like there might just not be the card you need floating around. But on Magic Online, if there's a card you want, you can get it. It just depends on how much you're willing to spend for it. Now my next point is you can play anytime with anyone and you can play naked if you want, which I'm sure Christian does.
Sometimes.
Is that a con or pro?
These are pros. I've played Magic Online while I have cam girls on the other monitor. So if it looks like it's going to be a long turn, I might have time to, you know, rub one out.
Right.
Okay, so never playing Magic Online ever.
that's a big deal. I mean, there are a lot of people that want to play EDH, but they can't because they don't, you know, maybe their local shop is 2 hours away, or you know it's late at night and no one's around to play. Well, you've got your source to play, so that's a huge upside.
Yeah. This is going to sound a little ridiculous, but I'm really, really shy sometimes, especially when it comes to Magic. So I don't like go to the game store that often or play with people that aren't my friends. So I usually use Magic Online to manage to play against people that aren't using my decks. Is what it mostly comes down to.
Right. Yeah, no, I see that too. If you're not a huge people person, I mean, which kind of goes against what EDH is all about, but it's a good resource for sure. Now, there's also a much wider variety of generals and decks that you're going to play against on Magic Online, which I think is a huge plus. When I was playing, I haven't played at my local shop in probably a couple months. You know, there were 15 to 20 people on average on every Tuesday night we would play. Even though that seems like a lot of people and many of them had multiple decks, you still see, you'll see a lot of the same stuff, a lot of the same strategies and the same cards. And this is like the infinite play group. There has not been a single game that I've played on Magic Online where someone didn't play at least one card that I went, what's that? You know, so I think that's pretty awesome. Next point is managing multiple decks is a lot easier because they're just there at a glance. You can click them, see what's going on with them, edit them on the fly. Some people might complain about the interface, but once you get used to it, it's really not that bad. And then this is like a huge, this is a huge one for me because I'm a lazy bastard. You just need one card, one of a copy of a card, and you can put it in all your decks and not have to swap.
Yeah.
In paper, I have one Sol Ring in paper, four decks. There's no way in hell I'm going to swap, you know, because I like to, you know, change my deck up like after every game. There's no way in hell I'm going to go around and swap my Sol Ring out. So I've just built the decks to use other stuff. But on Magic Online, you have one Sol Ring and you're good to go. You never have to worry about swapping to different deck lists or anything like that.
I hate the Planeswalker cards on there because it's a set that you can only, it's the gold bordered set that you can only play in gold bordered games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when I'm not paying attention and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I even had this. And I put it in a deck and it's like, fuck you. You can't use this in this format.
Yeah, that's the worst. If you ever, that's a bit of advice for any new players. If you, like, sure, some new players might want to actually play the Planeswalker format, especially if they're low on cash or whatever. But when you start a new account, it'll give you a Planeswalker pack that you can click, like, right click, open it, and it'll give you like 400 gold bordered cards that can only be used in the Planeswalker format, which basically you're just stuck with those cards and that's all you can use. But they muck up your library. Just don't open it.
Yeah.
Just don't even bother opening it.
Yeah, they had thrown a bunch of my shit in my account when I came back into it. And I'm like, oh, what's this? I open it up and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
This is going to ruin everything.
What have I done? So next point, spell resolutions can be a lot faster and easier. When you cast Warp World or Thieves Auction in paper, you might be there a while. Like, grab your fucking popcorn. You have to stack all the triggers, and it can be a huge mess. And sure, it'll take some time on Moto too, but everything's kind of done automatically for you. So a spell that could take like an hour to resolve in real life might take 5 or 10 minutes on Magic Online. And that's kind of nice. Also, like, priorities and phases, they're never ambiguous. Like, in real life, you always know who has priority and what phase it is due to how Magic Online works in general.
Yeah, it helps when you have two non-active players that both have Mimic Vats. Yeah, it's nice to have the game tell you which one it's going to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have to add a bit of a caveat. There are some cards that do work horribly on Magic Online.
Yes, yes.
Like Ice Cave. Because somebody casts a spell and everyone has to accept the ability and then tell it no.
Yeah. For every spell that's cast. And Rhystic Study is the worst on Magic Online. And that's a card I love, you know, because it just annoys the shit out of people. But yeah, on Magic Online, it is the worst. Every time someone casts a spell, it asks you if you want to use the ability, and it's just like, oh, come on, man. And I know there's ways to, like, automatically set stuff, but I don't think it works with that one.
Yeah, do you do the gentleman's land tapping if you don't have anything to do? That way it's not asking you stuff?
If I remember to, yeah. Yeah, everyone kind of does that. Now, my last point is cheating, which I know it's a casual game, but you'd be surprised, like, the number of people that like to cheat, even if it's EDH. And on Magic Online, it's just not possible. You can't manipulate your deck. You can't feel around. You know, there's no actual cheating. So it's not really a big deal. Plus, like, if someone wants to cheat in a game of EDH, it's like, whatever, you know, who gives a shit?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. What is wrong with you? And then this one's kind of, this could be a pro or con, I guess, depending on the kind of player you are. There's no holds barred on Magic Online. Like, any strategy goes. And if you've been in a play group that has its own ban list or, you know, frowns upon certain strategies, well, too fucking bad. You're out of luck. You're playing with the wrong group. Because you will see land destruction, from me. And you will see infinite combos on Magic Online.
If they're willing to click through them all.
If they're willing to do it, yeah. You know, a lot of times someone will be like, they'll lay down whatever cards to make the infinite combo. And if no one has an answer for it, you know, people will just concede because there's no point in sitting there watching them jerk their deck off. So yeah, I think that's a big pro for me. I really like that, you know, you can't pussyfoot around different strategies. You can't say that something is not legitimate when it's a Magic card. It exists. It's not on the ban list. So, what are you bitching about? You know, that's basically, in summary, if you're kind of on the fence, if you have a little bit of extra money and you feel like you want more EDH in your life, then Magic Online is really a pretty good resource for that.
Yeah. I'd say you could build a not completely awful deck for about $10.
Oh, exactly. There's this guy, Dragon240, who hangs out in my stream. He's probably my most regular viewer. He's made 2 decks now, since he started watching me. Like, he didn't play EDH on there. He's made 2 decks that were both, I think he said, below $15 a piece. When I play in a game with him, he wins. Like, almost every time, he wins with his $15 deck. It's great. I like it.
Looks like Sword of Fire, Fire and Ice might be the cheapest sword right now. That seems weird.
Dude, I got a fucking Jite for $2.
Yeah, like, that sounds awesome. That's like, I've never known that, because, you know, Christian says he's built his deck for cheap, but then it's like, yeah, but I mean.
It's a Christian deck, right?
Yeah, you did that on purpose, bro.
Well, I don't like to spend more than like $2 on a digital card, so I don't have the swords or anything, but I mean, Sword of Fire and Ice is like $6 online right now. Yeah. And that's just on traders.
That's pretty sweet. Like, I had no idea that it was that comparatively cheap, but like, so if you're trying to get like something more like standard or modern, big, like how much would you have to pay for what's that fucker, like a Tarmogoyf, is that thing still like $1 million?
Certain cards like that are worse online.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, there are a few Force of Will. Cases, yeah.
Actually, Goyf isn't bad right now. Well, I just use Traders as my price guide, but Goyf is 81.
Okay.
Goyf used to be like $200 online.
Oh, wow.
Force of Will is 140 right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, there are a few special corner case cards that are actually more expensive on Magic Online, but those are not cards I'll ever play.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Like, I mean, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I'm pretty sure Jace, Mind Sculptor Jace, is more expensive than the paper version.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, because he's legal in Legacy, right?
Yeah, and there are certain cards that haven't been printed, so like a lot of your Homelands cards and shit won't be in there, which really doesn't matter, except I wanted City in a Bottle. Except there's no Arabian Nights expansion online anyway, so City in a Bottle wouldn't do anything. Calvin or Cassidy, did you guys have any other comments you wanted to make?
Well, I don't think Calvin said a single thing, so let's hear him say something.
I really have, like, no real comment at all when it comes to MTGO online. Not because of the fact that I'm not interested. I'm actually kind of just sitting here listening and, like, trying to absorb all of this information in.
I think if you've got, like, $20 to spare sometime, because I think the client's 10, and that comes with, you know, the Planeswalker pack, which you don't want to open, and then just random, like, M13 cards.
Yeah, it comes with, like, I think 300 of the latest core set, just kind of, like, commons and uncommons that you might need. And then it comes with one booster of the latest core set, which you can just turn around and sell for like 3 ticks, which is $3, and use that to buy a shitload of good EDH cards.
Okay, so like a ticket is like $1 basically, so like...
Yeah, a ticket is the online currency, but yeah, it's $1. And like there's some sites that specialize in selling cards on Magic Online that you can like give them 90 cents for one tick, and they kind of like make money off of that by having bots and whatnot. There's a whole economy to the game.
So, but when you're saying like the Sword of Fire and Ice is $6, can you trade in 6 tickets normally?
Yes.
Or is that, oh, okay.
Yeah, if you find a bot that's, or a person that's trading it, you can trade 6 tickets for a sword online. Or if you buy from, like MTGO Traders has a site where you can buy it, and you pay through PayPal, which if you use the PayPal code, then it's like 5% off or something.
Oh, okay.
And then they actually have a guy come in the game and trade the cards to you. And I know it sounds shady, but I've done like 10 to 15 orders there. So they're a legit setup. Like they have bums at the card store that just have these trading accounts that they, when they get an order come in, like some dude has to log in, put the cards on, get the cards ready to trade and then contact you.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I bet something like that, if it was crooked, wouldn't last long because
no.
Magic community is fucking plugged in with all shit. So.
Oh yeah.
There's also, and you won't get really great cards this way, but there are bots that give out 60 free cards every month. They'll usually be commons, but you can get some, if you like weird tribal stuff, you can get some weird things that way. And there's also a penny bot now, which is the greatest thing on earth. Because every card that it has is one penny.
Even if they're not literally worth one penny, it's just...
Yeah, like, there's some... They just threw them in there because nobody's taking them. That's where... I got most of my cards for my vanilla creature deck from there. Not all of the cards were vanilla creatures that I got out of the penny bot. But yeah, I would say if you have, like, $20 that you weren't doing anything with, it'd be not, it's cool to try out. And then if you don't really like it, you know, you lost $20 and that's about it.
Yeah, and if you dive into it, hop on my stream, let me know that you're just starting up, and I'll maybe hook you up, and also you can play against me and some of my my stream regulars. So,
How about you give the kids the times that you usually play, since you actually have a pretty weird schedule?
Yeah, since I work third shift, I'm usually on in the mornings between like 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I know it's kind of weird, but actually I think I get more traffic at those times because I have streamed at kind of normal streaming times, like during dinner time, and I didn't get as many people because all the pros and shit stream at those times, and people would rather watch the pros play than me, so.
I think it also comes down to, it's probably easier to find people to play with at the normal times, but you're going to have more viewers when they're all at work anyway and have nothing better to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I have a lot of European viewers too. Like, I've noticed there's a ton of people over in Europe that, watch me because it's kind of like, you know, 5 to 8 p.m. there. So it kind of matches up.
All right, kids. So, twitch.tv/beardyplays if you want to check him out. If you have any questions about Commander on Magic Online, you can contact him or email the show offcolorcast@gmail.com. I'll make sure I'm the one who answers those questions.
And now it's time for Castanini's Audacity. He doesn't follow the rules. Off color.
So this week on the Audacity, we are going to talk about the recent bannings in Commander. Unbannings and bannings. And we already talked about it on the Commander Cast episode we were on, and I'm guessing that most people listen to both shows, so it might be a little bit of rehash, but I bet most of us can't remember what we talked about last night anyway, so I think we'll be good to go. So I guess I'll start off. You know, when I first heard about it, I was at work, so I wasn't in the best of moods anyways, and I kind of had like a negative reaction towards it. Mostly because I really like Primeval Titan. I don't really give a shit about Worldfire. I was never going to use that dumb card. I don't play Joyra. What? That's pretty much the only deck it's good in, right? Joyra or something similar, like Omniscience something? I don't know. Anyways,
yeah.
Yeah, something. Kakuzho being unbanned, I think is for me, it's not very consequential. Although, since we talked about prices some, I was making a deck. And I was looking at the prices, and Kakusho's like $12. So, I mean,
what was it at when it was banned?
I have no idea. I've never had to look. That's
I think it was like $7 like a week ago.
That's sad.
Let me see. Well, no, you can get heavily played for $8.27 at TCG Warehouse.
Yeah, I mean that was the MTG info thing. That's the mid price. But either way, like that seems really high. I didn't even really think about it, just like as a chance of it getting unbanned, because I mean that $7, if it raised even $5, there's still like that $7 difference where it was like, wait, someone else is wanting to buy Kakusho besides EDH players, or are EDH players just buying it and then realizing it's banned and that's why it's still expensive? I don't get it.
A lot of people use the Dragons and Cube.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where I seem to be seeing the most. Like,
I think really any outside party that sells Magic cards will latch on to pretty much anything that they think could affect card prices so they can inflate it. Really is what comes down to.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I work for TCG Player. That's what we do.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Every day you hustle, guys.
Every day I'm hustling.
But,
could you have sounded whiter? You should have been, like, jazz-handing. Every day I'm hustling.
Let me put it on my credit card.
The most powerful card in Magic. But let's see, what I'm going to actually like mention, like, because the thing I found the most interesting about Kakusho's unbanning is the fact that he's unbanned as a card to be played in your deck, but he's actually still banned as a commander, right? Mm-hmm. So while I was looking over the ban list, I noticed that pretty much all the cards on the ban list either are cards you can play in your deck but can't use as a commander, or cards you can't use at all. After looking at Kakusho, it kind of occurred to me that there's no cards that you can use as your commander, but you can't use in your deck. So while I was thinking about this and actually looking at Kakusho and seeing his house, like, well, you know, it actually kind of makes sense for Kakusho in a way. Because, you know, like, with the way they were talking about how, like, his recursion and him going to the command zone and being able to recast him over and over again would be kind of, like, broken. But in the same token, like, if you got Kakusho in a deck and you're playing blue-black, you can always use Rites of Replication and just kind of get the same effect in one shot. What I was thinking is like, well, what about, like, the other cards that are on the ban list that could probably come off, like, something like Emrakul? Like, why isn't he, like, allowed to be a commander as opposed to a card in your deck? If he's, like, if he's one of my own things that keeps getting bribed, take him away from the bribe section and put him in commander, in the command zone. But it's just something that I didn't notice until Kakusho came off, because I didn't even think about it until I saw it on that, like, ban list. And no one ever really seems to be paying too much attention to Kakusho or ban list, mostly for the most part anyway. But as I was, like, looking at it, it's, like, the one thing that actually kind of caught my main attention. So I figured, like, you know, this was on what I was actually going to bring up on Commander Cast, but we never got around to it because we were too busy, like, writing Primetime.
It brings up a good point, I think.
I don't want Emrakul being cast from the
Grand Yeah, Zone. If Emrakul was able to be a general, it would just be ramp, 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 Emrakul. Yeah,
but,
like,
I mean, you couldn't sneak him anymore.
Right.
You couldn't...
Right, no, that makes sense, but I just... Yeah, I never want to see that card in any format, even though it's played in Modern and Legacy.
He doesn't... I mean, he bugs me a little bit, but... I mean, I would love an excuse to have to put Tajiri Preserver in a deck again.
Well, and when you play a general from the command zone, you're technically still casting it, right? So
you wouldn't get the extra turn.
That's the worst part about it, I think.
Okay, so maybe not Emrakul, but I do think that someone like Kakusho, if they since they're looking at it with really like level one thinking. Because they're like, oh, well, the easiest way to recur something is to cast them from the general zone. When, like, levels smart thinking would know that the easiest way to recur something is to let it go to the graveyard.
Yeah, exactly. Going to the command zone actually makes Kakusho shitty as fuck. So, yeah, a shit fuck like that. A shitty dick like that. Actually kind of already looks like a big shitty dick.
I mean, their other not-as-general choices are a lot better because... They're like 2 mana, and they're dicks.
Yeah.
I know you guys miss Ruffalo's.
Yeah, he will never be missed in any context.
But there is always Azusa, you know what I mean? Azusa, my bad. But so, I mean, I see what you're saying. We talked about it a little bit on Commander Cast yesterday. I really think that was just like a compromise, like, to ease the one person that's like, no, I still fucking hate Kakusho on the rules committee, whoever. That may be, I'm not naming names because fuck if I know. But, I don't think that there's any real reason behind it. It's just kind of like okay. He'll be on ban, but he won't be able to be the general, okay? Okay, fine, I'm happy. Okay. Now we can tell the people.
It was sad when they did the real ban and restricted list changes and no one cared. But God forbid you do something in EDH with a card that everybody owns and, like, the internet shit pile just starts.
Oh, yeah.
But if this is what it takes for people to actually start creating their own rule sets, it'll be a good thing in the end.
One of the other things, too, is that, I've been playing these tournaments lately, and we use the standard rules. So, like, that does actually kind of affect me whether my local group, like the people I play with, will let me use Primetime or not. So that kind of sucks. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to see them doing something. And banning Primetime is a fucking ballsy-ass maneuver. Like, Sundering Titan and Grizzlebrand wasn't, Grizzlebrand was a dick. We knew when he came out. It was like, God, this guy sucks. Fuck this guy. I don't like him. You know what I mean? But, like, people play Primeval Titan, and it's in, I have 2. I used to have 4. And they're definitely all in my decks when I had 4. So, like... it was a ballsy maneuver, and I can applaud that at least, even if, like, they had to choose, like, the one card that I never wanted to take out of my deck ever. Like, no, give it back. Omnath is crying. Like, no, my friend.
Seems like everybody wants Deadeye Navigator banned right now. It's like, come on, let my bounce boy bounce things.
I've been raped by that guy constantly, especially in...
Probably by your brother.
Yeah, in Wanderer, and Riku is retarded with that.
But with Primeval Titan gone, Deadeye Navigator just isn't as good now, right? Like, that was a huge target for him.
I'm not going to miss him online. It just takes so long with every stupid trigger. Yeah. And then I have to pay attention to which lands come in.
Yeah. No, I hated... I wanted Primetime to be banned pretty much from the second it was a card.
Yeah.
I don't hate it too much, but I really, like... I don't think the stuff that it was ramping was really the issue. And maybe I'm wrong, but at least every time I played, it was always just grabbing the utility lands that it needed to win the game, or to, shut someone down, and I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't know, there's some lands that are just too good, especially to get in, like, pairs. I mean, if the quality of lands wasn't as high as it is, or if he only got one land, I think he would still be fine. I don't know, I think his... A lot of people were saying that, Consecrated Sphinx, why didn't you do Consecrated Sphinx instead? It's because Consecrated Sphinx doesn't do anything until a certain thing happens. Primetime comes in, and if you kill it after it's entered the battlefield, like, it's already gotten its value. The person does not give a shit. if you counter it, sure, they might give a shit, but like,
yeah,
he's already, the damage has already been done, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, two lands, but I mean, if the whole table can't deal with Consecrated Sphinx, it's like that two lands, it compares nothing to when it gets back to your turn and you've drawn like eight cards and you're just laughing your ass off and everyone's right. Like, I hate this card.
No, and I'm not trying to defend it. Like, I totally could see that being banned and would applaud, but yeah, I think Primetime was a bigger offender personally.
Fair enough. I love the card. I can understand. I mean, it was one of those cards that was like, if I didn't put it in a deck I was building, I was kind of like, does this deck suck all of a sudden? Like, what's it missing?
Exactly. And that's like the reason why it got banned. Like, if there's a card that evokes that kind of reaction in people, then yeah, that's probably a card that needs to be banned.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll always be fine with whatever card you want to play, but personally, I really don't like things that can find any land, except for Sylvan Scrying, because that's a spell. But like Expedition Map, I've never been high on, even though I run it begrudgingly.
Yeah.
And I really hate Weathered Wayfarer. Some motherfucker comes down like turn one, and then he's just gonna grab whatever lands he needs for the rest of the game.
Yep.
Yeah, Weathered Wayfarer is a boss. Yeah. It's funny though, because I run him in my mono white deck, and like, there's like two non-basic lands maybe in that deck, so it's like grabbing like a turn two, Calderon Outpost doesn't seem like the best plan, so it's like, oh, Ghost Quarter, that's all I have.
Do you have the spell that filters out all your planes?
No, I tried that card, and like, every time it was just like, Seal of Cleansing, and I'm like, no, my planes.
Well, you play in a more cutthroat environment than I do for the most part, so I can understand not running that card.
Yeah.
Because your brothers seem like they're killers.
Well, I mean, I kind of mentioned it when we were talking about the tournaments on the Commander Cast episode, we don't play standard or anything else as much or even limited, so like, we basically just treat EDH like it's real, you know what I mean? And like, I mean, if, you know, my cousins are just getting into it, like my cousin Ed, for instance, his deck was Gave, at first it sucked, he spent some money on it, and now he fucking kills me with Infinite Sanguinate, and I'm like, what the hell, how'd this happen, you know what I mean? So, I mean, people evolve.
Yeah. Speaking of which, could you see a card like, I mean, not that we care about the ban list, but could you see a card like Exsanguinate sometime making it on there?
I mean, it could. Like,
it's boring is my biggest problem.
Well, that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about with the segment, and I actually kind of got detracted. You know, let's talk about a little bit more about cards that might have been more suitable than Primetime, and that's my big thing, is that, like, sure, okay, you do get two lands and the damage is done, but at the same time, like, it's pretty hard to win with just two lands. What was I saying? Oh, okay, so, you know, with Primeval Titan, he's gonna grab lands. I mean, when you were gone, Calvin, we talked about how, like, even if he hits play and gets two lands and, like, he dies, he's still, like, done his job, so, like, based on that, like, theory, he still doesn't win, really, unless you're doing, like, Inkmoth and like a fucking Wolf Run, you know. So maybe
fucking Wolf Run.
But if Primetime hits play, right, and dies instantly and gets you to two lands, all he really was a ramp spell that had a discard effect attached to it.
Well, it was a 6-mana ramp spell though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of manas.
Boundless Realms is 6-mana.
That's 7, but yeah.
Oh, is it?
Retardedly.
Like, but if he eats a removal, basically Primetime pretty much says, 6-mana, search your library for 2 lands, put them into play tapped, target player discards a card.
Yeah, but I mean, why would you ban that? You know what I mean? Like, look at Exsanguinate. Like, that card is so powerful and it ends games way more prematurely than other cards do with a lot less effort. And, I just see the cards like that.
Did you guys see? More of a problem. I wasn't paying attention to a lot of, like, real EDH before Exsanguinate came out. How often did you guys see Urborg and Coffers before Exsanguinate?
Oh,
it was all the time.
Still all the time? Okay. Because I knew, like, we would use it for, like, Drain Life.
Right.
But Drain Life hits one guy.
Yeah, like, before Exsanguinate, I saw Cabal Coffers and Urborg used for, like, what's that mono black legend that has that thing where you can pay, like, X to his
Maga.
Like,
Maga the Trader, right?
Yeah, something like it was used for him. I've used it for
Drauna gets really good with it.
Drauna. Yeah, you can use it for Delphor to Defile. you know, get a chance to get multiple uses out of his effect. Like, you know, pay his mana cost, bring him in, sack him, exile him, or whatever it is, and then kind of like use him over again. Cause you have the extra mana for it. And that's just like the two or three things. It's like right off the top of my head before Exsanguinate.
Right. But Exsanguinate is by far more dangerous.
That's the best thing for it now, but. It wasn't
or pestilence. I mean, if you're ahead on life, you just pestilence for a billion, you know?
Yeah, but that's like the opposite of exsanguinate. You know what I mean?
It is. But no, I mean, if you're already ahead on life, you just kill everyone.
Thrashing Wumpus and Loxodon Warhammer. And then start.
So, I mean, what I was getting at is I think there's just other cards that warrant more banning. Like Serra Ascendant is a good example. I know GU Doug says that Soul Rings are more hateful than Serra Ascendant, but I've never lost to a Soul Ring in like 3 turns, you know what I mean? So, I'm just saying, that card's insane, and I play it in my white deck, and, any white deck that I plan on attacking with is definitely gonna have a Serra Ascendant, and it's way less of a, putting forward supplies, like, you know, it doesn't take as, it's more efficient. A mana, you know, just one mana. 6/6 flying first turn in EDH. Okay. No big deal.
So I think this is actually something cool we can do. You brought forth Serra Ascendant and I talked about Exsanguinate. Calvin, what card could you have seen being banned?
What card could I have seen being banned?
Yeah.
Top.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm not saying that to be funny. Like, out of all the different, like, cards I could possibly see being banned in any, like, particular format, anytime Sensei's Divining Top is legal in a format, in my mind, it should be banned.
I like it in Legacy. I think it's fine there. Countertop should be a deck, because Countertop is the most annoying thing on Earth.
Well, the thing is, like the main reason why I would say the top is the kind of card that would... If you're going to ban something, top should be, like, one of the cards that should be banned, because it's mostly just a waste of time card. Yeah, someone's going to top, and they're going to look at the top 3 cards of their library, and then someone's going to play something else. Oh, man, the cards I picked up aren't going to really work in the situation. Let me top again. And then, like, the next player goes, it's like, ooh, now, you know what? Now that's taking care of the creature Cassidy played, I'm going to top again and put my cards back the way they were before. Because I have the mana for it. And now everybody kind of has to wait for it. I mean, if you're using top in, like, Commander, and you're using it like the I'm going to top and everybody just kind of, like, just keep going on, just ignore what I'm doing. And you're actually, like, in a place where it's fine. Like, you know what? It's fine. At the casual table, top works. But, like, in anything where you need a ban list or something, like, actually has, like, rules like that, too, a top always seems to be the card that drags the game out the longest.
What if a Sensei Golden Tail is your general?
The exception.
Yeah, because then you want to put his top in the deck, don't you?
Yeah, but that's, like, the theme version of it. I'm just talking about just general.
Okay, so we got top from Calvin. Beardy, what do you got for us? Pet card could you have seen banned?
Well, Primetime was definitely like at the top of my list. But below that, probably Seedborn Muse and Kiki Jiki. But Seedborn Muse especially, that card was not designed with multiplayer in mind, I don't think. And if it was, then fuck Wizards. But
what about Seedborn Muse and Alchemist Refuge?
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that.
Or Vedalken Orrery, which is basically my
it's like,
ethic.
Oh, look at me, I'm taking like, 4 turns.
Yeah, I've taken 4 turns to your guys' is like 1 turn.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, but one use might be like kind of like a bad thing, but it's one of the things which is it's actually kind of cool with it, a higher mana cost. Didn't they make that green prayer that basically did the same fucking thing?
Vorinclex, yeah.
Like, Seaborn Muse might have been them trying it and putting it at the wrong mana cost, because you have to remember, at those times, they were still kind of just fucking around with the color pie and the mana curves of stuff. You know, you wouldn't realize that Seaborn Muse should have been, like, a 6 drop as opposed to...
Oh,
right.
To Seaborn Muse is Sword of Feast and Famine, right?
There's kind of also the Murkfiend Leech, which untaps blue and green creatures. But I guess that's not the exact same thing.
Isn't there an enchantment that kind of does the same thing as Seedborn Muse? I thought there was, but maybe I'm wrong.
There might be one that's symmetrical, though, where all players do, but nothing quite, like, one-sided, I think. Which is why it shows up everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Seedborn Muse.
It's dumb. It's just, like,
are you not? Is there a Vig deck that doesn't have it?
No. Every time someone casts Seedborn Muse, it's like it is used in the most unfair fashion every time. Like, there's never a Seedborn Muse sitting there that isn't doing something.
I've used Seedborn Muse, but I usually put it in like a Feldegrift deck, and it's just mostly me giving people shit, so I'm trying to be fair.
I put it in my Doran deck just because it had a much bigger butt than the front. Like, I had nothing to do during my opponent's turns at all.
And it would hit for four.
Yeah, it hits for four. Damn right, Tech.
I hate it when someone plays Doran against Lord of Dressrhorn. Oh, fuck.
I played it against Maelstrom Wanderer, and it just gets... The math gets all messed up.
Okay, so we've talked about the ban list. It's a pretty hot-button issue or topic. So if there's some things you wanted to say about it, if you wanted to tell us about it, why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Okay, kids, so as we know, Return to Ravnica is coming out. You know, I used to think that it was pronounced Ravnica because I didn't read it right for the longest time. I think I like Ravnica better, actually. We know black-red is my favorite color combination, and we've got a new black-red legend. We also know that the black-red generals are kind of crappy, except for Karavec, and someone reminded me of Penis Vampire, who people seem to like as well.
She's good with, I mean, if you have enough mana, she's almost impossible to get.
She's like a crappy Memnarch.
Yeah, but she's black-red and not blue, so that makes her awesomer. And she has, yeah, I mean, tripod, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a ballsy shit for Magikarp.
She's, I've messed with her a little bit, but not a lot, I'll admit. Not with Karavec being around.
Yeah.
But we have Rakdos, Lord of Riots. The first thing, black-black-red-red casting cost. When's the last time we saw a black-red thing worth casting at that casting cost?
Long time.
Usually you need, like, it's gonna be 6, 7, 25, who knows. Legendary creature demon, imagine that. A nice little caveat, you cannot cast Rakdos, Lord of Riots, unless an opponent lost life this turn. Flying Trample. Creature spells you cast cost 1 colorless less to cast for each 1 life your opponents have lost this turn.
Yeah,
the Dalkanori, hello.
We actually have... As far as I'm concerned, Black Red didn't have an aggro general before.
Yeah.
So now you actually have a beat stick. Most of the things I'm casting don't have a lot of colorless mana symbols on them, but I could see where the reduction could be useful. Casty, you're my brother in arms with Karavec. What do you think of this guy?
It's actually kind of funny because, you know, my Karavec deck used to be more group slug, and like, since I've been playing one-on-one games, it basically was meant I didn't have a deck to play. And so I started making it more like red-black good stuff. But with Karavec, it was just kind of like, I think I didn't have a single creature that cast below, like, casting cost 5, except for maybe Dark Imposter, which is my boy. But, so, like, I had this top-heavy deck anyways, and it was kind of weird, but fun to play. So then when they spoiled Rakdos, it's kind of like, oh, well, this is a much better general for my retardedly big black-red creature deck, you know, like, casting Inferno Titan on 2 red is just, like, awesome. Kind of, like, reminded me of Animar right away, so, like, my mind started going to like combos that Animar can pull off and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things you can do. What was your original question, Christian? Sorry.
Well, I didn't really ask it, but Where does Rakdos fit in your mind as far as the hierarchy of black-red generals go? Like, would he replace Karavec basically now?
Oh, I see. He could replace Karavec. I mean, Karavec, I think, is still the best general for like group slug and like maybe discard shenanigans. Malfagor is pretty good too. But, I mean, if you want to build, like, a deck that's black-red that you want to, like, get some damage in and turn sideways, you know, maybe Calvin wants to make a black-red deck. Like, I really see him as the best choice for an aggro deck. Olivia Voldaren and Karavec are both good control cards. There's a few other black-red generals. There's Lizolda, right? The Blood Witch. She's kind of... But, I mean, nothing quite like Rakdos as ass-kicking style. And the fun thing about Rakdos is it, like, encourages you to deal damage so much that you're going to, like, warp your strategy around that, just direct damage, and, like,
any time where you're like, ah, oh, pingers are like the best card in my deck, like that's a good situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I put him at number two. He's below Kervec, but I like him more than any of the other ones. And I was always toying with the idea of making mono black aggro just because I don't really see it that often. But I don't see me doing that anymore. I'm just going to make red black aggro now.
Red black aggro before.
What?
What was stopping you from making red black aggro before?
The only red black general I ever wanted to use was Kervec.
Yeah, he doesn't really do it.
And if I'm running Kervec, I want every single troll card in the deck. I can't start cutting troll cards.
Hold on a second. So, wait, you're saying that Kervec, you basically think that Kervec is the only, like, red-black general that's worth playing?
Style of play, yes. I didn't like any of the other ones, really.
Not even Wart?
Oh, I despise Wart.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, the Raid Mother's so much cooler than Bogard Ante. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Well, the Raid Mother, you like it because it has green in it. Just admit it.
Yeah, it's good.
Wart is called Wart Boring Ante. I've got a thing against goblins because I think they're too easy to be a tribe. Because I'm a b-hole.
Yeah, it's effortless to make a good goblin deck. I mean, you don't have to play any terrible cards and still have plenty of goblins, so.
Yeah, but if you're just playing red-black with, like, aggro, you could easily use, like, Wart as, like, the thing. I mean, she's a 4-mana, she drops, she has fear. So yeah. It means in most cases she can actually be able to swing in contact without having to worry about being blocked and get that general damage in, especially if you're going to get someone who's actually got like a deck that doesn't fall into your colors.
Eh, it's just boring to me. Rakdos is not boring.
Rakdos is awesome.
Yeah.
You guys didn't even mention the artwork. I saw that artwork and just instantly, Infinite Misery by Cannibal Corpse like was playing in my head. If you guys haven't heard that song, it's an instrumental. You should look at the art and play that song, and it's just like, oh, it's so awesome.
Like, I'm sort of confused at the body shape, though. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's two arms there. Okay.
He looks like
he's throwing a dude.
He's dancing. Biggie Pop style. Come on.
So, Calvin, what do you think of the new guy, though?
Oh, actually, personally, I think it's actually pretty good. Me and my brother were getting into, like, a long debate over this versus Rakdos the Defiler. Mainly because my brother was talking about how Rakdos the Defiler was, like, a horrible version of, like, any particular creature he wanted. And he never liked the idea, like, when Rakdos the Defiler is attacked, you had to sacrifice half your permanence. But then I was sitting there, I was talking with him, I was like, well, you can always find, like, I personally would say the Rakdos the Defiler would be the one that I would want to play around with just because of the interest in seeing if I could figure out a way to turn that con into a pro.
It's called Kylie of the Vast.
Right, that's what I was saying. But, like, I sound like, you know, combine it with, like, Grave Pets and, like, various other things. And then I read, like, Rakdos the Defiler and realized it said, like, sacrifice half the non-demon permits you control. So if you can, like, find a way to, like, make your stuff demons, you basically lose nothing but stuff and maybe land.
Conspiracy. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
No, wait, Conspiracy and Cormus Bell.
Oh, that makes your swamps.
Yeah, it makes your swamps dudes, and then it makes your dudes. Yeah, it makes your dudes demons.
Awesome.
And then herb work so that you don't lose any lands.
Woo! That's a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, like, but you got to get to 6 mana to get to Rakdos the Defiler anyway, so you got plenty of time to work your way to it.
That's a lot of work to get blown out by a wrath effect.
That's when you put in fucking
Drazi Monument too. Come on,
Drazi Monument, and give all your stuff indestructibility.
Yeah, but that's a non-demon permanent, so that shit's gonna get.
So you'd have to buy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still. I personally thought that Rakdos the Defiler was an interesting card to kind of play around with. And I was like, you know, like if I was going to try anything, I'd like, you know, hey, maybe give it a shot. I mean, just because it seems so bad on the cover, but it just seems like the kind of thing where it's like, if you can build around this thing, and you know, like how we were talking about, what was it, Lord of Treasurehorn? And how that thing had like 3 downsides. And I was like, those 3 downsides aren't that bad if you can figure out a way to work around them and use them to your advantage. And Rakdos the Defiler seems like the kind of thing where it's like, maybe if you could get them and figure out a way to like, give them somebody else, switch control of them to somebody else and force them to attack each turn.
I mean, yeah, you could do that.
And, well, what about the new one? Come on, man.
Yeah, I was just about to say, as much good as fun as this Rakdos the Defiler discussion is, let's talk about the new one for a little bit.
One thing I think is funny about the new Rakdos.
Now, come on, we can't just ignore Calvin. We gotta let him say whatever he has to say about the new one.
Sorry.
Rude ass dude.
Love you, Calvin.
Yeah, fuck you, Chris. yeah, like, the new one's actually pretty cool. I mean, I actually like the fact that it's, like, only 4 mana, so it's really easier to get out than most of the other ones in this. And I'm actually looking through, like, the other list of, like, red-black ones, and, like, yeah, you're right, there's, like, almost, like, nothing up here. Even though I personally would have thought that Boris Devilborn was, like, more Christian style.
I love Boris Devilborn, but it's hard to get do Minor Demon Tribal. You throw in, like, Adaptive Automaton to pump Minor Demons.
Hey, those Minor Demons won't die to the original Rakdos.
I don't know. Minor Demons are a different creature type than Demon.
I wonder. Wait, does it have, like...
Nope, yeah, red-black demon creature token is named Minor Demon.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. Horse Devil Boon is like...
Oh, that's right. They changed it.
So, okay. Your turn, Beardy. What's up with the... What's up with Laura Riot here? What do you think?
I love him. One thing I thought was funny about the new Rakdos is his, like, red-black guys, they're just, you know, they like to beat face. That's really what they're all about, is just beating face and killing stuff. And this guy will actually make you do a lot of math, which just seems very counter to what they want to do. I don't know. I just want to play Vedalken Orrery and cast big, scary Eldrazi on other people's turns for free.
Yeah.
So, what, I'm really drawing a blank, what dudes am I casting that aren't like black, 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 or black, red, 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 red?
Dude, there's just use artifact creatures like, Wormcoil Engine, Steel Hellkite. No, it's awesome because you could just keep wheeling out creatures, Warstorm Surge, just land at
If I have Heartless Hitagetsu out, or Hitetsugu, your mispronunciation started making me mispronounce it. If I had Samuel L. Jackson out, then it would be then Rakdos would be really awesome.
But then you'd just be, I mean,
be overkill. Actually, okay, so I'm sure everybody already read this before and realized it, but I didn't. For some odd reason, I always thought it would be like one opponent. But if you hit everybody for 2, that's 6 mana off all your creatures.
Yeah. So even something as stupid as Subversion or, Leech-Ridden Swamp, that shit's tech in right.
Yeah.
Just deal 3 damage with a dumb little thing, and you can drop tons of stupid cards for much cheaper. It kind of reminds me of, like, Heartless Summoning, only, like, without the bad drawback, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the deck I built for my article was, like, kind of a more colorless deck, cause that was just, like, my first thought, like, Shimmermere! Yeah, that's like a Vedalken Orrery that's more fun, and you can cast it whenever you want. So, you know, and just do some cool, like, Goblin Welder and Scarecrow and tech. You know, like, I was kind of channeling Patchen a little bit when I was building it. Like, what stupid things can I do where I can take a deck and make it completely brown and have no...
I think you could almost run Disciple of the Vault.
Yeah.
And combo out with this guy.
Yeah, you can also do, like, Cloudstone Curio and the Priests, like Priest of Urabrask and Priest of... Gix, and just like make a ton of mana for cheap, you know, like pretty much any combo that Annamar was able to pull off, like you'll be able to do with Rakdos. Probably easier, maybe. It's just like different.
He's a way sweeter Annamar.
Yeah, exactly. He's way cool. Well, Annamar starts off as a 1/1 for 3, and this guy's 6/6 for 4. Like, hell yeah.
Is that what they've decided demons with a drawback should cost? Is a 4 mana 6/6 flying trample?
Oh yeah, Desecration Demon too, right?
Yeah, and so Rakdos is like the third one because there was
Abyssal Persecutor.
Yeah, Abyssal Persecutor.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, because he was another 4 mana 6/6 flying trample.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's basically like he's like the boss of those guys.
Yeah.
The other cool thing that I like about him, just if nothing else, I love his name. Like Lord Riots is cool.
Yeah.
And Rakdos, when you look at the cards in the set, like it just seems awesome. It seems like like Batman 1 or 2 with the Joker, you know what I mean? And like all his cronies like having a good time but causing chaos. Like it just seems awesome. I just actually went to Riot Fest this weekend, which was a big punk show outdoors. And like I wasn't sure what to write about. And then I came home and it was like, oh, Lord of Riots. I guess I have to write about Rakdos now.
I want to see the art for Rakdos Rage Mutt. Who named this card? Actually, I would love Rakdos' ability so I could cast the Rage Mutt for just black-red.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you don't even have to build around it. It can be just totally incidental. So, like, yeah. That's why I think he'd be good even with, like, red-black good stuff, where just, like, you just throw good red-black cards together. Like, I mean, yeah, you're going to run Runescarred Demon anyway, so casting it for, like, 3, 4, or 2 mana would be better, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I just chose the artifacts because it seemed like pretty fun. Oh, yeah, with Null Profusion, that's what it was. You know, you just want to play artifact creature, draw a card, play it, draw a card, draw a card, draw a card. That was my ultimate goal.
you could use this for creatures that have, like, an X in their mana cost.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Like Frankenstein's monster.
Damn it.
I'm just saying, like, if you happen to have Rakdos out and you have a way to, like, burn the board for, like, I don't know, like, 4... If everybody takes 4, you can easily then just, like, use Frankenstein's monster and, like, cast it with, like, what, just 2 black and, what's that, 4, 8, 12? Yeah, he can come down and you can, like, remove 12 creatures from your graveyard and put 12 different counters on them.
I've never fully understood that. When it says cost less, does that add mana into the X then?
Yeah, that's actually, it's the last step of casting a spell is the reduction of mana cost, so, like, basically, everything else that could affect the spell cost, including paying the axe, happens before you apply that. That's why the general tax rule, general tax gets applied before the cost reduction thing, so like Caridor, you know, Caridor can keep making himself cheaper through the general tax, so like that happens last.
Yeah, I've seen people down on red-black from this set, but there's like almost every red-black card in the set that isn't like really stupid I really want to get.
Dude, they're awesome.
Yeah.
And you get the overload cards from Is It, that like the Mizzium Mortars and that fucking awesome Shatterstorm. Like those cards are awesome, man. Even though I don't want to play Is It, like Overload is by far the sweetest ability in that set. Like
Overload's epic, pretty whack.
Yeah. Epic experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Riku is gonna fucking cream his jeans for that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my brother plays Maelstrom Wanderer / Riku, basically, and, like, he's just like, every Ezreal card that comes out, he's just like, oh, man. You know, I was like, dude, get your hand out of your pants.
I like the 7 mana that tutors for 3 spells. That's my favorite Ezreal card. Yeah.
I mean, well, we kind of talked about how we thought it was kind of boring, the abilities, and, like, I think for the most part they stayed boring, except for Overload. I think Overload, where they just, like, gave it to cards where you're just like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, deal 4 damage to every creature, and it gets through like Shroud. I like this. Sounds good.
Yeah. Alright, kids, so we've talked a little bit about our boy Rakdos. If you've got any opinions, why not email the show offcolorcast@gmail.com. Okay, beautiful people, you just survived episode 29 of Off Color. We loved recording it. We hope you loved listening to it. Hey, I'm Chris. You can hit me up on Twitter, @ChristianRenault. My picture isn't my crotch anymore. Some people enjoy that. I'm sure most of you won't. You can also email the show, offcolorcast@gmail.com. Me and Calvin check it. We get back to you. Fun stuff like that. Let's let our guest boy, Pimp What He Wants, say goodbye to everybody. Beardy, why don't you say goodbye to the wonderful children at home?
All right. I want to give a shout-out to all my on-stream regulars, also my mods on my Twitch stream. There's Wolfie, Dragon240, and Into the Void. Also, Igor and Jackson from the Show of War and Peace. Igor's been hanging out there for a few weeks now, pretty regularly, and he brought Jackson the other day, and they were both just, like, trolling the shit out of each other and me, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, every time I jump on there, Igor's in there.
Yeah.
It's Chris Lansdale of listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Also, John, who writes for you guys, also known as Hatter of Mad, he hangs out in there a lot. And that Beards EDH deck that he made is pretty epic, and I've got it like 80% built on Magic Online. It's pretty terrible, but man, it's awesome. Like, I'm totally gonna play that, even though it's terrible, because I don't give a shit. So that guy's awesome.
You should just get like a, for your picture, can you have like a GIF of yourself, or yourself just like stroking your beard continually? Like, that would be awesome.
Unfortunately, no.
But you can have you set up your own custom playmat that only you see?
No, I probably will, though, just because a lot of the other streamers have been doing that, so yeah. I probably will eventually when I'm not lazy. Also, my friend Chad, who's probably going to be listening to this, he's been my Magic buddy, like, since we both started. We both started playing Magic together, like, at the same time, and if we didn't have each other for playing Magic, we probably wouldn't have continued playing it, so... He hangs out in my stream occasionally. His name on there is Skinny Pig, and he plays occasionally too. So, and then of course you three beautiful gents for having me on and just bursting my podcast, Jerry.
Yeah, we like to break them in when they're still pretty fresh.
Yeah, I listen to you guys when I'm at work, and
I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's a lovely distraction. I tell you what, I mean, it's monkey work, and I'm just. So bored all the time, but listening to you guys gives me something to chuckle about, so
we try.
Yeah. And by saying we try, we really don't.
No. Well, yeah, when we say we try, by saying we try, I mean we don't try.
Yeah.
All right, Cassidy, why don't you say goodbye as well?
Okay, well, goodbye everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks Beardy for being on. Now that I know when you're playing, because every time I checked up it was like, oh, looking at a blank screen. Okay, that's fun. Yeah, I'm going to check that out more often. You guys can all check out my articles as per usual. I'm sure you're sick of me saying it, but I will never stop saying it. And you can hit me up at Writer of Wrong on the old Twitter thing. You can Facebook me if you want. And done.
All right, Calvin, bring us on home.
Thank you, everybody. This is Calvin, also known as Captain Resin on the internet. Before I get too far into my personal thing, I'd like to say thanks to Beardy for coming on. I've basically been tied up with previous at-home issues for this entire episode. So if you hear, like, nothing from me, it's because, you know, I'm here in spirit and drunk.
I'm pretty sure people are going to say it's our best episode ever.
The greatest episode that's ever occurred. That black guy finally learned how to shut the fuck up. But if you're actually looking for me, I'm not that hard to find. I'm on Twitter at Captain Redzone. You can catch me in Gmail by sending a message over to CaptainRedzone@gmail.com. We also have the All Color Cast Facebook page and Facebook group. You can catch me over there. You can also comment on basically the articles and the show itself on AllColorCast.com. If you're the kind of person that actually uses Google Plus, and I have no idea who does, but if you're the person and you decide you want to send us a message, we'll go to us. We'll know about it. We probably won't respond. We'll at least, you know, we'll know it's there.
I love how you said that. Like, you're the kind of person that does that.
But like, after all this time, like, I've seen people sign up for Google Plus, but I've never seen anyone post shit to Google Plus. But yeah, that's roughly about it. Also, if you want to catch like some of Beardy's things, you can check it out on the sidebar on our page. We've got like a little, we can click it. It'll actually show you like some videos. I'm pretty sure it's like some of the older things he's done. It's actually just been like saved and documented on there.
Yeah, I think it links to my YouTube page.
Yeah, it links to my YouTube channel.
That's fine.
Right, cause like that was like the best way I could actually figure out to actually have something that would actually play when people looked at it. But, you know, like, hey, like, you got that option. When you're over there, you can go check out the other articles by John and Jason and stuff and blah, 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 and all the other things and groups. Lots and lots of big old titties directly in the face.
That's
and teethy vagina that's staring at me.
Oh, yeah, I should mention, we're going to do episode 30 next week, and then I think we're going to take a couple weeks off. So you guys are going to have to be without your OCC for a little
bit. Sad. So sad.
Well, I...
What am I going to jerk off to now?
Come on. I don't know. Born. So, good night, folks.
Good night. Hey, I've got one other thing, actually.
God damn it, man.
I forgot to say I have a Twitter account, too. You can follow me at BeardyPlays.
At BeardyPlays.
Yeah. That is the best way to know when I'm streaming, because whenever I start my stream, it, like, instantly sends out a tweet automatically, so...
Okay, that's cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm learning new things, technology and all that shit. Fucking A.